Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
On this, our final program for 2011, we thought we'd invite in all of our great housemates who join us week in and week out with their unique look on the culture part of life, faith and culture here on Open House. In a little while, we'll review the year with our most recent housemates, Steve Krieger on social media, Jeremy Ralston on sport and David Andrew on music. For now, the old hands. Only experience, not in years.
Flattered, I'm sure.
Cara Martin, Ben McKechnie on movies, Cara's on books, and Mark Hadley on TV. Guys, welcome.
G'day, mate. Good evening to you.
Old hands.
Some of us,
just
maybe.
In terms of experience.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out I've still got more hair than you.
But not as much as... But some of us have less, all right? Wow. Let's move on.
This segment should be visual radio. And I reckon this one's going to be chaos. Okay, so we thought we'd do a few things. Looking back on each of your individual specialties, first, highlight of the year, ladies first, Cara.
Thank you. Well, I've got a couple of books I wanted to mention. Room by Emma Donoghue was in the shortlist for Man Booker Prize. It's a wonderful book, an amazing book written through the eyes of a child who's trapped with his mum inside a tiny room. And it's just wonderful in not only exploring what it would be like in that claustrophobic environment and a case of entrapment, but then a commentary too on us as consumers and how much we have. How much do we really need if these people have survived in just a room? Just the commentary on that is very challenging. And the other one I want to mention was Australian author Geraldine Brooks, her latest Caleb's Crossing. I just think that's a fabulous book, beautifully told about a woman who's through the eyes of a woman who's a daughter of a missionary, and then she befriends a Native American Indian who becomes the first graduate of Harvard. And once again, a great story about cultures meeting each other. And although Brooks is not a believer, she actually quotes verbatim from accounts of conversations between Christians and Native Americans at that time, and there's some wonderful material in there for Christians as well to read and be encouraged by and be challenged by as well.
Yeah, it's a great book. Ben McKechnie, take us to the movies, highlights of the year.
I'm really glad you said highlights, and I'm glad Cara answered the question highlight with several, because I was about to do the same thing. I think highlights for me are more those films that I went into, and I know professionally I'm not meant to do this. I'm not meant to prejudge things. I'm not saying that I do. I just may go in there like everybody else and think I'm not going to like this. But a couple of films this year substantially surprised me. I think The Help is probably the biggest one.
Okay,
I thought
yes.
The Help was fantastic, and all the social, political, religious commentary in it was wonderful, but the way that film came together and did not turn into a sucky telly movie is just extraordinary. Extraordinary. It really is. I still think about it now. It's just a massive achievement. Real Steel, which Mark and I saw a couple of months ago, same thing. I thought, if you're making a giant robot boxing movie, why keep telling us it's going to be a father and son movie? That's stupid. Just go with the giant boxing robots. But the giant boxing robots were like the worst part about the movie. The father-son story between Hugh Jackman and Dakota Goya, the young lad that played him in that film, was fantastic. A really tremendous look, a really quite frank and honest look, surprisingly, at fatherhood, which was great. I think the other one is the Australian success story of the year, Red Dog, which I don't think
where'd that come from?
Well, that's exactly right. I don't think it's an amazing film, but it points very strongly to what people want to go to see at cinemas, which is something nice, like something really remarkably inoffensive. And I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see actually a few more nice movies coming out because Red Dog just smashed it.
Great lesson for movie makers and television makers, Mark Hadley.
Obviously, I couldn't, finish off the year without mentioning the seventh series of Doctor Who.
Gross. Oh, yeah. So we've got that out of the way early.
Okay, moving on.
Switch back on, views, please.
I wore my T-shirt today, just to offend everyone.
If you'd only see this shirt. It's a mess. No, it's lovely. Lovely
look,
shirt.
That said, actually, I think the best thing that came out came from a bizarre direction. I'll pick up on what Ben said. Sometimes you just expect something to be bad news. And so when Channel 7 trotted out their period drama, Downton Abbey.
Yes.
I had prejudged this series. I was looking at it and just going, ho-hum.
So had I.
Upstairs, yeah. Downstairs, a lot of sort of canoodling between servants and things like that. That's what it'll all be, you know. Or
and tea.
Forbidden
canoodling.
Love. Hey, this is a G-rated show.
Thank you.
But, I mean, so, you know, you have this sort of expectation, and then what actually comes out is this brilliant piece. Mm. You know, Julian Fellowes was the writer, the same fellow who gave us Gosford Park and Young Victoria.
Fantastic.
So it had real depth, and it had real understanding of the period and the tensions between. You didn't spend the time feeling like, oh, these upper-class people, they're horrible, or these lower-class people, they're heroes. It was actually a real mixture of humanity in there trying to do something. And for me, the biggest moment was this line by Carson's, this great character, this stolid butler. And there's this struggle all the time between valuing service as to whether or not service is worth something. So he actually says, you know, to one of this young butler who's trying to learn the trade, he says, remember that a good servant at all times retains a sense of pride and dignity that reflects the pride and dignity of the family that he serves. And I thought to myself, you know, service doesn't have to be a dirty word.
It's the same kind of sense that you were saying, Ben.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, you bring out something.
God, isn't it refreshing?
Who would have thought?
Rather than say, well, obviously these people are just being suppressed or they have the right to be... These people actually took pride in what they did and how they served, which is just an unusual method.
Okay, I'll stick with you too. Now, low light of the year on television.
Well, the fact that Doctor Who's seventh series actually ended so quickly. Look, I'd say
is
that
Doctor Who going to be the prelude for every answer.
Strangely, I'm looking down
most
the
memorable
answer.
Moment.
I'm looking down the answers, and I'm starting to think. Look,
that's creative.
A low light of the year. Yes. Sadly, I mean, and this is the case. Sadly, it's not just bad television. It's not like last year I was talking about the Kardashians. That's bad television. But but the low light this year was actually a program that had the potential to do really well, and it was Judith Lucy's Spiritual Journey. Now, it had an opportunity to take right into the mainstream. A very popular Australian comedian was going to look at her own personal spiritual journey and where that went. Frankly, it was just the road to nowhere. You know, basically, it was a series of opportunities to make jokes, and just when it looked like it was going to get serious about what she believed or whether or not she would actually change her perspective or think through her perspective, it was another opportunity for a series of one-liners.
Because she's clever enough, smart enough to be able to do that.
Well, but she went for six episodes and went nowhere.
Yeah, but didn't do it.
Yeah, I know. And frankly, there were some moments, you know, to me, not Lily Tomlin, her name escapes me, but a great Australian comedian was in there, a friend of hers in the sort of the ages when she had no other interests other than alcohol and drugs and things like that. And, you know, Judith Lucy's talking to her, and she had since become a Christian, and that was about one of the most authentic conversations in the entire series. Mm. Judith went, well, now off to the Northern Territory. Well, off to India, off to... And I just thought, did you take
just,
nothing?
What, flipping and shallow?
Yeah, it was sad. It went nowhere, and that's the pity.
But it's all about the new tolerance, isn't it? That you can't afford to offend anyone.
Well, it had to be everything so that she could not have to feel pressured by anything.
Yes.
Ben McKechnie, low light at the films.
I'm going to take Cara's approach again and several. I think I think the worst of the year is Just Go With It, which actually this backs up my Bounty Hunter rant a couple of years ago, which I won't go back into. It's too painful. But Jennifer Aniston was in that. Jennifer Aniston is also in Just Go With It. Mainly my issue was with the premise, the central premise, which actually this film was remade from a Walter Matthau film in the 60s, 70s called Cactus Flower, which I haven't seen that original. I really don't want to now, because Just Go With It has Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston in it. And in a nutshell, Adam Sandler's a bloke who pretends to be married so he can pick up women. And then it gets more complicated, but stupidly so, because he gets Jennifer Aniston, his assistant, to pretend to be his wife so he can tell his new girlfriend that she's his wife that he's divorcing, and then he gets Jennifer Aniston's kids involved as well. So the layers of deception and marital, not just dysfunction, but the complete disrespect for marriage in this film as a comedy, appalled. Yeah. Otherwise, I think the biggest flop of the year was Pirates of the Caribbean, the fourth one on Stranger Tides. Massive, massive disappointment. I cannot believe they did not learn their lessons from the past two. just shallow, excuse the pun.
They did. They basically went back to the first film and repackaged it. But it was all about Captain Sparrow and that's it.
But not in a good way. Not in a way where they actually gave him material. No. They just pushed him out to sea and like let him sink. And I think my personal low lights for me as a three. Yeah, but this is more
it's been a bad.
This is a frank admission. And Mark actually has explained this movie to me at length. And it really, really assisted me because when I watched it, I did not like it, could not understand it. The Tree of Life,
which was wonderful.
Oh, see, I just found it pretentious. Hot. But I also understand that I'm not very smart. So if I was, in fact, more intelligent, I might be able to understand all the Genesis Roman stuff in it. But like, instead, I didn't.
Like
so I'm
Cara
just
Martin.
An idiot.
Okay, Cara, low light in books.
Okay, for me, it was the Man Booker winner of last year, which pipped The Room, which was Howard Jacobson's The Finkler Question. And I was so looking forward to this because it had been raved about by critics, but I just found it a total dud. The characters were loathsome, the plot was distasteful, and it was dense. And basically, it just seemed so confused about what the author was trying to do. It's a story about a Gentile who desperately wants to become a Jew. And I think in the end, part of what it was doing was mocking religion and the concept of religion, but I don't know. I just didn't find anything to like about this book, and I bedread the end, but life is too short to waste time on bad books.
Too right.
Aren't you going to save a special place for the fact that Christopher Pollini got his fourth book out this year?
Is that still to come?
And it's beaten Matthew Riley and it's selling off the face of the earth, but I don't know.
On nice Open cover. House, we're with our three culture vultures, Cara Martin on books, Ben McKechnie on films and Mark Hadley on TV, reviewing the year. Can I also ask you this, each one of you, in an age of such transition, such change in which we live, how confident are you in the future of your own particular specialty, books, film and TV? Because each in their own way are under a fair bit of pressure, Cara, about books.
Yeah, well, I think books have received a lot of attention this year, probably mostly because of the demise of a very large bookstore. But yes. I think that that chain failed, not so much for the reasons of popularity of the electronic part of the media, but for other business reasons. And I've talked to some of the people who were funding that organisation. I think, in fact, books are really popular and continue to be popular. I've heard from independent booksellers that this year has been a really great year for them, in spite of lots of complaints about them closing down and so on. They're saying that what they've done is they've reconnected with their communities, they're offering a book buying experience, they're the centre of expertise on books, and so
I've bought more books in the last year than I have in the last five.
Yeah. Right.
But that's possibly because of the electronic side of it. It's made it actually so much easier for me. Mm. I don't know if people are e-readers in the audience, but it's the only thing I read on.
A lot of people are.
So I think there's always a place for narrative and for information for people consuming that. And I think e-books are actually, I mean, it's like when digital music came in, everyone thought, oh no. But in fact, it's made music more popular and more accessible. And I think the same is going to happen for books.
Okay. Ben, what about movies?
Yeah, I think films are definitely here to stay. The main issue is the distribution, which will continue to be a problem into the indefinite future, but films still seem to be able to withstand particularly piracy. The way people are consuming films has changed, like all the media that we're talking about right now. That's no different for books or for TV. So once filmmakers work in and around that and with that, I think there'll be another couple of stages yet of how and when we see films. But if you're still talking about cinemas particularly, they continue to be popular. Sure, people do. And it's like people, even in recessions, they'll cut back on other stuff, but they'll still go to the cinema if maybe just once a month or every 6 months, but instead of doing
escapism
is a massive, massive lure. So I can't see films going south anytime soon at all, which is a great thing.
You're right. Yeah. Mark Hadley, future of TV, self-interest aside.
And Doctor Who. Yeah.
I know!
So we've got that out of the way.
We were going to speak about one of the more popular series and how it's going to survive. Look, the ability to reinvent itself. I would just say, connected to film, piracy is not an issue. You know, like we've found, and in fact, the rights, digital rights management and trying to lock things down have actually decreased in some areas sales, whereas actually when they've moved to a more unlocked format, the American market particularly has found that it has had no effect. Last year, the American cinematography industry actually recorded a bumper profit. Okay, so it's going forward. And TV's pretty much the same. Okay. You know, we've found that new medium allow us to actually get interested in something earlier and faster. Mm. Products just move faster. And look, I've tried to leave television probably about 3 times now, and all that happens is that the industry just changes underneath you and you find yourself back in it. So, you know, whether it be a distribution via the net or whether it be distribution via portable devices and watching TV.
We're able to be more in control of it ourselves.
Absolutely. Yep. And in fact, this is the big thing for me. Mm. I actually think that if Jesus were alive today, this is I'm probably going to... I'll take that step.
I'll tell you what, he wouldn't be watching Doctor Who.
Well played.
I think he'd own a DVR. Okay.
I have heard it all.
That's the new advertising campaign for DVRs around the world. What would Jesus do?
He would program. I mean, what DVRs and what electronic devices allow us to do is actually select, you know, in a way that we never could before. So my wife and I probably don't watch live television, probably haven't. Now, I watch television for a living, and I haven't watched live television for probably about 12 months.
Other than the news.
Yes. So I think
lots of self-promotion.
Those things will allow us to actually become more in control.
Power to the people. Mm. Can I take you out of your comfort zones and ask you a couple of questions as you reflect back on this year? First, doesn't have to have anything to do with your specialty. Most memorable moment of the year, Cara?
I was thinking about this, and I can't really go past just that run of tragedies at the beginning of the year, the Queensland floods, the earthquake in Christchurch, the Japanese tsunami. Mm. I mean, they were just unbelievable events. And it's amazing to think that I had to think a little bit before remembering that because, like, life goes on and other stuff happens. But, I mean, they were incredibly huge events.
We're all reeling.
Rocked people.
I remember it.
Yeah. Thank goodness for television that brought that to you.
Yes, thank you. And the books are coming out soon.
Television news, I think, actually. Yeah. Ben, what about you? Most memorable moment.
No, I need to go away and work on my self-centeredness because I was thinking more personal. memorable moments, great. Thank you, Cara. It's all about you, mate. How couldn't I go first? I think I can split it into two. Professionally, it was spending 12 minutes in a room with Steve Carell. Which was fantastic. Thank you very much. Who I thanked personally for the American version of The Office and the warmth that that's brought to me and my family.
And he said, I've been waiting for someone to say that.
He said, Ben, thank you very much for being here today. And actually, on a family note, having my extended family around at my nephew's first birthday back in Adelaide, I think was the personal triumph of the year.
Oh, great stuff. Lovely.
That's
stuff.
A lovely one.
Good on you, Ben.
Yeah. Okay, Mark.
My life is seen through a prism of the small screen.
You sad man.
Look, I just wanted people to know that I'm not some overweight sort of couch potato or something like that. Occasionally I stand up and sit down around
but
the
you're
couch.
The guy in the Doctor Who shirt.
Yeah, with his bad shirt.
Look, I know this is weird. There was a tension in my house. I was chatting to my wife about this because she's a producer, and so we actually watch television together and all and critique it together. Oh, and I said to her, what do you think is the highlight? And we were wrestling between the Academy Awards. There's a great show this year.
Well, Cara, you look way better than us.
At least he didn't say the Logies.
No, I didn't say the Logies.
We're not coming back on next year. Cara's doing all the segments.
You know,
Cara's gone.
And now... Gasp over the next one. But actually, we settled on the royal wedding.
Hear me out.
Call the ambulance. Cara's gone.
Now, we represent a generation that actually lived through Princess Diana. Okay,
Right,
there we go.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a downer. No, it was. I mean, it's because you see something in television, which occasionally you always see in the negative. Okay, you're always prepared to see reality reassert itself in Kim Kardashian's life, and you just go, "My goodness me, what we are in private, we are in public." Yes. You know, so you see that when you see the royal wedding, you see something different. You see people being prepared to stop and celebrate something at an international level. Now, I would hope that we could do more than just celebrate the nuptials of, you know, two well-dressed and well-heeled sort of British people. But the truth is that there was a moment there where we all sat around, and as much as we laughed about it, we liked the idea that two people were going to find space in their life for each other and start something new.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy about that.
Feel good. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Actually, you rescued them. I'm very impressed. That was a memorable moment for me.
Did anybody notice that Matt Smith was invited to the wedding?
Oh, no. Sorry, the 11th Doctor.
Oh! Oh!
Doctor Who?
Lost it again.
Okay. Another question. What I reckon has been so special with all of you housemates is how you've been able to, again, so seamlessly, authentically incorporate reflections on the Christian faith in each of your areas of interest. What's one thing you've learned or an insight you've gained in 2011 about your own personal faith? Mark Hadley.
Yeah, look, I was thinking about this, and this is where I dropped the tone because I'm not going to make any jokes. The last 12 months, 18 months have been a pretty difficult Hadley year. And we learned that just when you think things couldn't get any worse, they actually get better. Because we found that we learn again. I think you can sometimes you sit there late at night watching yet another episode of something you don't want to watch so that other people don't have to watch it.
Amen.
Thank you, Robert.
And you ask yourself, what are you doing? But the truth is that God's been really gracious to us, and we sort of find that the way the Bible puts it is that God doesn't test us beyond what we can bear. The way that C.S. Lewis sort of picked up that idea, and he said that just when you think it can't get any tighter, when the narrows come in and you're squeezed through the end of the bottle, then you're out. And this is how God
how
deals
brilliant.
With us.
Yeah. Okay, Ben?
Nice.
Mine's similar to Mark. I've gone through quite a substantial transition growth phase in faith in the last couple of years, and this year got to such a point where I've actually resigned from my job as editor of Empire, and I'm going to be going to a theological college next year.
Hey, there's a scoop.
There you go. Yeah,
that's by the way, the address to send your application
and your donations.
Yeah, so I'm this guy that was the job I wanted to do since I was a kid, and I love my job. And I love my job at Empire as to be the editor there, but I'm convicted that God can use me in better and more meaningful ways elsewhere. And following on from what Mark said, if you narrow it down, like the amount of time I can spend in a cinema, which I intend to in the future, spend time, watch films, freelance, all that kind of thing, continue on this program if you have me back.
Absolutely.
Now that I'm not tied to this major masthead, although I will still be writing for it. But I spend so much time doing that and writing about that, I think, what am I doing? Like, what ultimate divine heavenly purpose is this going towards? I think I can be better used elsewhere. I'm going to hopefully find that out at theological college in the next couple of years.
Used in two arenas, both, I reckon. I reckon theological colleges need people like you.
Yeah, I need to be more
you.
Theological sound. I want to know the Bible better, God better, and I think that can be incorporated very well with pop culture, not in a way where you're squeezing Jesus into everything, but you can demonstrate that as Christians, you can reflect and discern and like analyze and interact with culture in a way that hopefully will help people, like this program does, help people discuss and really think about things without necessarily dragging them into it or saying that you've got to be part of the world. We're not trying to claim that.
That has always been our goal. I think I'll speak for the three of us when we say we're not about trying to force Jesus into a conversation, but rather step back and find him already there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ben, just promise me you'll stay normal. I'm sure you will, actually.
Really?
As normal as Ben is.
Are you kidding?
Good answer.
Like, they're going to have to try really hard to make me not wear sneakers and matches, all right?
Yeah.
Or thongs.
Cara Martin, one insight you've gained about faith.
Well, it flows on really beautifully from what we were just saying, because I think I've just this year been hit again how God's truth is truth for all people, for the whole world, and you find it in unlikely places often. And I've been doing some work looking at the business world and God's truth in the business world, and that may seem to be two very different things, but I've just been struck again how the Bible is so applicable to what business is about, because business is primarily about relationships again.
Too right.
And the Bible tells us all we need to know about relationships, how to relate to each other, because it tells us about ourselves as individuals and groups and how we interact and our need for community, and there's so much in there. I am just so glad that we have this great God who's given us this fabulous resource, the Word, and that it just speaks to everything.
Great stuff.
Fantastic.
Okay, just quickly, holiday time, where are you off to, Cara?
I am going up the coast, and I am so looking forward to a break. And especially, I do have a huge load of books to read, but most of all, I just want to sleep.
Big goals.
I know.
Ambitious.
Sister, I know. I feel your pain.
You see the demographic, the older you get.
Just our old hands.
Just the less sleep you get. Ben, where are you off to, mate?
Rather than sleep, I'm going away for 2 months, and I'm going to Kathmandu for about 2 weeks, and then I'm going to America, and I'm driving from Miami to San Francisco in the space of about 7 weeks.
Wow.
That's
And I may great. Sleep in that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you won't be getting much sleep. Terrific.
Before you drive.
Mark Hadley.
Mate, it's the holidays, so instead of spending my time watching good television, I'm going to watch bad television. That's basically what happens.
You don't mean Doctor Who.
No, I'm actually going to spend time with my family. I'm going to ask the boys what they'd like to watch.
And finally, careful. And you'll get a Christmas
Dad's
present.
Dad's not going to have the remote. No.
No, well, basically, I think this period, this pause in which a lot of the people I write for just stop for a while, then I get to spend some time not staring at a computer screen thinking, what do I think of that?
Christ. Mm. Yeah. Cool. Guys, I've just loved each of our weekly segments with you guys. I also must say to you three especially, thank you for so graciously incorporating and accepting the newbie on the block back in May. the shoes were big, and it's been an absolute treat, especially talking with you three. Thank you so much.
Take a perseverance, but you're all right. Little scamp, you'll be okay.
Now, if only we can get you to watch more TV.
Just give me the time, mate. Ben, Cara, and Mark, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Happy Christmas.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.